Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast. We're happy to have you join us today. Our topic today, the lost fantasy. So what we're going to talk about here is how when you are engaged in a relationship with a narcissist in whatever... Well, we're talking probably more intimate relationship on this one. When the discard happens, we're going to talk about the loss of all that comes within that discard and why the lost fantasy is so painful.
Well, and also why the lost fantasy on top of the loss of the relationship makes it so much more devastating.
It's that ripple effect experience. Where the loss of the relationship, the loss of that person is the primary loss.
Yeah.
And then the loss of the future, the loss of your hopes together, the loss of essentially the fantasy, or the return to love bomb, that's a fantasy. That gets lost as well. But before we jump into it, just talking with other individuals who have been in narcissistic relationships, right? But you were talking about the inevitable part, the inevitable discard. There is an inevitable discard. Either they're going to discard you or you have to discard them.
Yes.
Right? And it's hard on your side to think that you might have to discard somebody, but really you just have to discard the abuse. You have to set the boundary, which essentially the narcissist experiences as a discard. So if you set a boundary with them and say enough is enough, you know, that's the end of this happening, that's the end of this relationship, even with risk of losing the fantasy or returning to a more fantastical space, sometimes you just have to draw that boundary.
But that's a really big piece though, that typically in these circumstances, what you're explaining is the empath is finally getting to the point where they're empowered enough to be a badass and to set a boundary. When we're talking, we're just setting a boundary. We're not necessarily talking ending the relationship and all of those steps, but setting a clean, clear boundary and actually getting to that point then has a huge ripple effect. So it not only it becomes even more confusing and bigger and dramatic, because to that person, they've just set a boundary saying, I'm not doing this anymore. But the consequences that result after that are so huge.
Yeah, essentially, like you're saying, that domino effect of even one firm boundary in something that doesn't seem like that big of a deal can set off this whole chain of events where they will become overreactive to that one thing. And that leads all the way down to ultimately a form of discard, right? It's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And that was true in my experience too. As soon as I stood up and set the boundaries where the boundaries had to be set, that shattered the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's the moment that the checkout happened.
Mm-hmm. So when typically in a relationship, it's a narcissist and an empath. One of those sets the rules and the tone of the relationship, and that's the narcissist. And when the empath steps, which at the beginning, when the narcissist sets all that, it's beautiful. Why would you not want to be involved in it? It's a fantasy come true. And then the empath goes to set a boundary or create a new dynamic in the relationship, and there is a loss of control for that narcissist. I think they interpret it as this, like, well, I'm not in control. I'm the one that drives the bus. And you're like, no, you go ahead and sit there, get all comfy. I'm going to drive the bus for a little bit. That's not okay. And then that simple thing can just derail that narcissist so quickly. And then you get into all the really, really destructive behaviors that tear apart at the narcissist.
Yeah.
Well, and that's true. We've talked about that before. And that, too, is an episode in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, the need the narcissist has for ultimate control over their world or their environment, and of course within the relationship. just to keep them comfortable, to keep their supply up, to do all that type of stuff. But like you're talking about, the fantasy, right, the original love bombing or any form of love bombing is really the most amazing thing that you can experience within a relationship. Because when all of the conditions are right for the narcissist and they're on top of the world, well, they kind of carry you to the top of that world too, and you're sharing in this moment where reality meets fantasy. The reality is actually fulfilling the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling like they have more supply than they need.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like a phenomenal human being in that moment.
Yeah.
And you experience them as a phenomenal human being. And your connection is a phenomenal connection. You don't want to be anywhere else in the world, right? If you could just pause that moment and keep that moment, or repeat moments like that, you would. It's like that amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like a drug addict, we start chasing the dragon. We start chasing the experience of love bomb. Right? That's what gets us hooked into the fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really clear. And I think that is, I mean, what we're explaining to people is like, that's why you get caught in the web of a narcissist, is because the creation of what that relationship looks like at the beginning is so phenomenal and beautiful, and you feel so like amazed that this exists here for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that just runs out of the novelty of it for the narcissist, and the feed starts to diminish. Or isn't, it's not even that it starts to diminish, it might stay the same, but they just want more. You're not necessarily, they're not able to feed more off of you because you're already giving all that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then you become less than. They just see you as less than because you're not leveling up your what you can give.
So it sets a certain bar.
Yeah.
And that bar is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they want the, what you're saying is they want the next bar, and they want the next bar, and they want the next bar.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that moment of where reality and fantasy actually align for that moment, they're miserable all of the other moments. Whereas, you know, healthy individuals, we can have an amazing moment and still feel good about the rest of life.
Yes.
Like, life is generally good,
mm-hmm.
right? When you're in a healthy state.
Yeah.
You know, when you're pursuing your personal goals, when you're pursuing your own well-being, that type of thing. But for them, as soon as the fantasy disintegrates in their mind, again, it's that object permanence,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the fantasy no longer exists.
Yes, so this is that, the lost fantasy. This is part of that lost fantasy, where it starts even within the relationship, not even just at the discard, but like it can start to
mm-hmm.
be lost within the relationship.
Yes.
And then the empath can be wanting to be like, well, what's happened? What's changed? How do we get back to that?
Mm-hmm.
What do I have to do? What do I have to give here, give up there? How do I have to pivot and shift and change to get the beautifulness of this relationship back?
Right. To have the best of this person. Because in those moments where, again, reality actually meets the dream or the fantasy, you see the best of that person.
Yeah.
And of course, they're human. They have amazing qualities to them. And yeah, there can be amazing chemistry that happens within the relationship at that time. So it just heightens the whole experience. Then now this is where we run into, like you're talking about, the beginning of the end. And I think we really need to stress that too. The fact, how did you say it again? It's no longer good enough. How did you say it?
The supply isn't enough anymore. It's like you're less than.
Yeah, the supply isn't enough because it's not constant.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, the bar isn't being raised. And it's like the new fantasy in their mind of the way things should be. And because the shoulds aren't being met frequently enough or exactly matching, you know, what the fantasy actually is.
Mm-hmm. And the goalpost keeps moving.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of like, you know, we talk about this bar, like the imagery I always get with it is like doing a high jump, right? Like, do you remember in, well, at least in my day in high school, when you go to, like, do your track, right? You get, go to do the high jump, and then they'd level up the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they level up the bar. And you just kept trying until you got to see how far you could clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of like that. There is only so far that each of us can jump.
Mm-hmm.
To get over these bars.
And that's why the narcissist is doomed to a dissatisfied life.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have those moments. And the thing is, if they could just understand that life ebbs and flows,
mm-hmm.
it has its mountaintops and its valleys, and they basically burn things out in the valley phase. When really, all they have to do, how did you say it? Like, that's the time. Oh, yeah, green grass.
Oh, yeah. Grass is green where you water it. It's
right.
Not necessarily greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Right. But for the narcissist, they're always looking for the easy greener grass. Why would you have to water it?
Yeah.
There's green grass over there. I'll go get the green grass over there. So they're off monkey branching to the next supply.
Mm-hmm.
When ultimately, all they needed to do was pour in a little bit where they're currently at and do a little bit of watering where they're at along with you,
mm-hmm.
and they could revitalize
yeah.
the experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have no concept of this.
Yeah, it's gardening, right? You've got to tend to the garden. That's what bears fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So water it, nurture it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But that takes effort.
Yeah.
And the narcissist just wants what they want
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And now here...
Well, good luck in any relationship.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, that's why they're doomed to a life of dissatisfaction,
yeah.
other than these pockets of momentary satisfaction. So now the other thing is, when they do run to greener pastures, well, what happens to a pasture that isn't being used?
Mm-hmm.
It starts to grow and become
mm-hmm.
lush. And then they turn back and they go, oh, shoot,
mm-hmm.
I need that
yeah.
again.
What am I missing over there?
Right? Now all of a sudden the grass looks green
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where they return.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hoover, try to Hoover you back in.
Well, I saw another individual who contributes within the narcissism space talking about reverse Hoover. Have you heard of this concept?
No, I have, yes, but go ahead.
Okay, so the reverse Hoover is that they don't Hoover you. And so, especially for those of us who have gone through the narcissistic experience in relationship and have been a victim of that, we will go and we'll find resources on the internet and we'll hear about the Hoover over and over and over. And if we aren't getting Hoovered, we'll ask, well, why, what's wrong with me? I guess I'm, and then we start questioning ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where the reverse Hoover comes in. It's like, well, if I'm not getting a Hoover, then a lot of people will feel compelled to reach out to the narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reverse Hoover. It's almost like a passive aggressive framework of Hoovering. Leave them hanging out there long enough, they'll come back hoping for some contact from the narcissist.
Yeah, and they get to stand back and be like, I didn't, you came to me.
So that's why it's best to, when the discard happens, however and whatever that looks like, to do the healing and get yourself in a strong place. Now, with that being said, when the discard happens, however that happens, this is exactly what this whole episode is about, is the loss of the fantasy.
Yeah.
So not only the loss of the individual, not only the loss of the us, the relationship, but everything that goes with it, the future that you dreamed together, the opportunities to have those heightened mountaintop experiences, like, it all goes with, it all disappears with the discard.
And so does the realization that you contributed to this fantasy, and all the ways that you continued to play into it to maintain that fantasy. So not only were you maintaining a relationship, you were maintaining a fantasy and connection. So there's like two big significant losses attached to that.
Ooh, that's so good. So the relationship, right, what you perceive the relationship to be,
yeah.
And then the fantasy connected to the relationship.
Yeah.
And however that's kind of intermingled into itself.
Yes.
And yeah, it is. It's hard to lose the fantasy. Like, we get hooked in. And this goes back to how we've discussed the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So their delusion sucks us in, it becomes our illusion. And yeah, our fantasy. And in a way, it is a shared fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why wouldn't you want to get on board?
Well, yeah.
With what that fantasy is. Like, if that's possible, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
And especially in love bomb phase, it feels like it has happened.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Yeah, well, you've seen proof in really quick, big ways that
mm-hmm.
this fantasy is possible and real, and it feels good, and it's addictive, and it's intoxicating, all of those words, feelings.
And it is intoxicating. And then you sit there and you wonder, why is this not sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it feels like it should be sustainable. Like, we've achieved this. Why can't we constantly achieve these type of experiences? So, as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.